verse number 24. Appreciate Brother Colin giving us the opportunity to preach tonight. Looking forward to the services tomorrow and enjoying the fellowship here. Appreciate the offering tonight. May God bless you. It says here in Isaiah 65 and 24, and it said, "It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear." I'm glad of that. I've talked to folks in the last little while that's told me it seems like God just don't hear me anymore. It just seems like that I'm not getting anywhere with God, and it just seems like it's brass walls and concrete ceilings, so to speak. But I'm glad to know that God is still working. I'm glad to know that God is still a prayer answering God. I'm glad to know that the scripture is still true that says the righteous cry and the Lord hears. I'm glad to know that the scripture is still real, where the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open to their cry. I'm glad of that. I enjoyed the service earlier, brother preaching about Jacob and Joseph. A great story there. As Jacob goes down to the land of Egypt, he stays there. He has 70 souls with him when he comes, and he makes his reunion with Joseph there, and Joseph and his brethren, and all there. They're in the land of Goshen, but there comes a time that all of these are gone and they're dead, and Joseph is dead. He's buried, and some 400 years later, getting close to it, there's a little baby born by the name of Moses, and you know the story. The Bible tells us that he was a goodly child, and his mother hid him for a while, and when she saw that she couldn't hide him anymore, she made him an ark and placed him in the river, and there Pharaoh's daughter found him and took him to her house, and he began to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. But when he came of age, the Bible tells us in the fake chapter that he chose to suffer affliction with the children of God rather than to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And when he was 40 years old, he slew the Egyptian and ran for his life. And he goes to the land of Midian. And there he is given Zipporah, the daughter of the priest there. And he begins to tend the sheep and begins to work and begins to labor with his father-in-law. And then in the third chapter of the book of Exodus, when Moses was in the wilderness and he was tending to his father-in-law's sheep, he's getting nigh on 80 years old, and the children of Israel, if we can leave Moses a little bit, the children of Israel got a rough road to hoe, if you please, and they are crying out to God, God is hearing their cry. There's been a lot of times in our lives we've been to the place where we felt like we've cried. We've been to the place where we felt like we prayed. We've searched our souls. We've looked into our lives, and we've asked God, is there something wrong here, God? And all the time God's hearing, he's just making things ready for his plan. Do you believe God's got a plan for every life? All things work together for good. Them that love the Lord are the called according to his purpose. And I sure do want to be in the will of God, don't you? And if the Lord will help me a little bit tonight, God's never going to leave his people. He never has, and he never will. Jesus even said, "I'll go with you all the way." But I was thinking on the way up here, we had about 12, 14 hours of riding. I had plenty of time to think. And I was thinking on the way up here, the children of Israel were over in the land of Egypt, and they were making brick, and they were building a kingdom. They were building palaces, and they were making Pharaoh rich. And the taskmasters were getting hard on them, and they were doing their best to realize that they were children of God. And as time goes on, they begin to cry out to their God by reason of their taskmasters. But it must have been the fact that it seemed like God wasn't hearing. It seemed like God was way off out yonder. And Brother Collins, I kind of feel like the more they cried, the worse the oppression got. Have you ever been to the place where it seemed like the more you prayed, you're about ready to give up and quit? Hell, back while the children of Israel are down here in the land of Egypt, while they're building brick and while they're being oppressed and while they're being afflicted, Moses is on the backside of the wilderness with his father-in-law's sheep. And God's hearing their cry, and God's looking at his man. And God's got an hour, and God has a time. He has a purpose and a place. Way back there in the backside of the wilderness, while the children of Israel was crying out, God help us. While the children of Israel were saying, our afflictions are awful. While the children of Israel were making bricks and crying to God. While they were doing that that was told them to do. It was commanded them to build brick. Well, Moses was on the backside of the wilderness getting to a place when he was now 80 years old to listen to the voice of God. And the Bible said that he came near to the mount of the Lord, even Horeb. And there the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame, in a bush that was on fire. But it was not being consumed. And Moses said, I'll turn aside and I'll see this thing. Oh, this great sight. The reason the bush is on fire but not being consumed. And when it did, the Lord said, Moses, and he said, here I am. He said, take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. Then he began to speak to Moses and he said, I am the God of your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, so on and so forth. Moses hid his face from the Lord. While Moses was talking with God by the bush, somebody was probably down in the land of Egypt crying, God, have mercy. Oh, God, deliver us from this affliction. Deliver us from all this trouble, this taskmasters. Oh, they were crying out. I'm telling you, the devil's working hard in 1996. He's working against the church of the living God. But God's got a plan and God's got a way. I see Moses. It didn't seem like God was hearing. But I read to you that while they were asking, while they were yet asking, and while they were yet praying, God hears and He is answering. They didn't realize that God was answering while they were down in the land of Egypt. As Moses was turning his face to the bush, God was answering. Moses couldn't comprehend it. The children of Israel had no idea. They had no way of knowing, Brother Collins, that God was answering. Yet Moses looked and God began to move. There's been many times I'm persuaded to believe that the very power of God Almighty was moving when we were least expecting it. This is how God dealt with me yesterday. When we were least expecting it, God had begun to move. No, the children of Israel did not see it. They were miles and miles away. Oh, God, days and days away they were. Oh, but it said it should come to pass. Before they call, I will answer. Oh, but thank God, I'm telling you tonight, the children of Israel were crying and Moses began to fall into the hands of God. And God said, I have heard the cry of my people. I've seen their affliction. I know their burdens because of their taskmasters. But I like what he said, I am come down to deliver them. How could they know over in the Mount of the Lord, over at Mount Horeb, that God was answering prayer? They were still building brick. They were still being oppressed. They were still being afflicted. They were still being troubled. But way over yonder in God's time, the answer was on the way. The song says the answer's on the way. This I know. Jesus said it, I believe it, and it's so. Our Heavenly Father knows the need before we pray. Hallelujah to God. Well, God's time's not our times. God's ways are not our ways. The Scripture declares that His ways are high above ours. His thoughts are high above ours. But I did read in the book of Isaiah where it said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. I don't understand it all, the children of Israel would say. I don't understand it. Abraham was our father. Look what he did for Abraham, Jacob, Isaac, all of these. Joseph, the great work that God did with Joseph. How did he preserve him for years down the land of Egypt? While as our brother was preaching, Jacob thought he was dead, thought he was gone. As he said, oftentimes he'd pull that coat out. He'd pull that coat out and look at it. Ripped and bloodstained. Oh, a beast devoured him years ago. But what he didn't know was God was moving. While he was grieving, God was moving.
losing. I'll tell you what, sometimes we grieve, but that does not stop the hand of God. Sometimes we sigh, but that does not stop the hand of God in His time and in His own way. With those seven years of plenty, amen, then 2 years of famine comes in, amen, and those 10 brothers bow before Him as they said they never would do. And then He said, I am Joseph. And as Jacob dies, the brothers come to Him and trying to make it up. And He said, you thought it for evil, but God meant it for good. God was moving. Even while the brethren were trying to despise Him and getting rid of Him. It's amazing how God works. It's the amazing power of God. No wonder He wrote the song Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. We can't comprehend the work of God. If we could roll back our lives today, if we could roll it ahead, and if we could see what God has for tomorrow, I'm sure we'd all want to rejoice. But we've only got right now to live for and hope for tomorrow. Amen. So I say tonight that even in now, that before they call, I'll answer. What a God. I don't understand how this is going on. Amen. They couldn't see it. They couldn't see it. They kept crying out. Too often we quit. Too often we quit. We give up, as our brother said in the prayer service. We give up on them. But the children of Israel cried out because of their trouble, because of their taskmasters, and because of their problems. And while they were crying, God was moving. They didn't know the answer was coming down that dusty desert road. After that, God had appeared unto Moses. After that, God had given him definite signs. After that, He said, I'm slow of speech. But He said, your brother Aaron's on the way. I'm telling you, God knows what He's doing. I think we need to walk by faith and let God have His way, don't you? Amen to God. Hallelujah to God. Now one day, after the children of Israel had cried and cried and cried, and Moses has heard from God, God has instructed him. He sends him on from the land of Midian toward Pharaoh's house. He is the hand of God. He's the voice of God, if you please. Oh, glory to God. They don't realize that the power of God is just about to be unrolled before them. They don't realize now, while their backs, some of them, their backs are being beaten. They're being pushed a little lower. They're being mocked. They're being ridiculed. Oh, God, it seems like it's getting harder and harder every day. They don't realize that Moses is getting closer and closer. And then to stand in the presence of Pharaoh and say, the I am has said, let my people go. I'm telling you, sometimes we don't realize how close we are to the divine hand of God. Amen. Moving and proving that He has heard our cry. Oh, I've heard Him say, God, hey, why don't you hear my cry? Why don't you move? Oh, but I'm telling you, sometimes we don't realize how close Moses is. We don't realize how close deliverance is. Oh, so one day Moses and Aaron walks into the camp and they have a conference with the elders and they make their way to Pharaoh's house. And Moses stands before Pharaoh and says, let my people go. Yeah. Well, maybe they're about ready to rejoice. Deliverance is on the way. But we know the story, that the trouble got harder and harder and harder. But I want to tell you, it wasn't long until the time when the firstborn was dead. The death angel, if you please, has come through the land. The blood's on the doorposts and on the lintels. Amen. The children of Israel are marching out. Glory to God. After 430 years thereabout of captivity, God has heard the prayer. Oh, glory to God. Somebody remembers Joseph's bones. Amen. Where Joseph said, when you leave this place, take my bones with you. Oh, glory to God. Several hundred years prior to their deliverance, Moses prophesied and said, there'll come a time that God will take the children of Israel out. Oh, if they'd given up while Moses was on the way, maybe they wouldn't have got the prayer answered. Oh, what I'm trying to say tonight for a few minutes is, if God be for us, who can be against us? Oh, God hears our cry. Some sometimes while we are yet asking, He'll answer. And while we are yet speaking, He said, I'll hear. I'm glad that He does. I'm glad that He does. Oh, glory to God. God hears. It just seems like it takes a long time sometimes for the answer to come. But he that endures to the end, the same will be saved. Amen. In Psalms 126, I believe it is. I believe that's where I preached about the other night. Amen. When God turned the captivity of the children of Israel Zion again, we were like those that dream. Oh, glory to God. The turning around was a long time in coming. Oh, God help us. Oh, the restoration was a long time in coming. There was a lot of labor that had to take place, and there was a lot of persecution. But there came the day that all of Israel, amen, looked as they marched out. They didn't leave a hoof behind. I read in the book of Psalms where it said there was not one feeble among them. I read also so where it said he led them out with great riches. They borrowed the gold, the silver, the earrings. Maybe somebody woke up one day from out of a dream and said, we're free. We're free. In a moment's time, they woke up and they were glad they didn't quit a few months ago. They were glad they didn't give up when the battle was the hardest. They were glad they held on unto the end. They were glad that they waited on the Lord. There might have been some who were complaining and said, what's the use of praying? Moses has just brought some hardship on us. What's the use? Every time I turn around, the preacher's preaching against me. He's telling me this is wrong. He's telling me that's wrong. He's trying to tell me I need to do this and I need to do that. I just can't get ahead for losing. The devil loved for us to quit, but they didn't. They kept right on crying out. And the elders of Israel would back up Moses. The power of God would move. And then that morning, after they had eaten that Passover, and they marched out of the land of Egypt. Man, there was a great number of Israelites that marched out. They were glad that they didn't quit while God was sending the answer. They were glad they didn't quit while God was sending the answer. Oh, Lord, help us. So many times I feel like the answer's closer than what we realize. I feel like deliverance is so much closer than what we realize. I looked at a preacher one time and I said, just don't think I can make it any more. I don't think I can go on any further. Oh, God. And they said, hold on. Hold on. The answer's on the way. I knelt down by my bed and I said, God, I just can't go on anymore. I prayed for an answer. I sought God for an answer. And the Lord spoke to me and said, if you couldn't make it, I would already have brought deliverance. And it reminded me of that scripture that he wouldn't put more on us than we were able to bear, but he would with the temptation make a way of escape. I'm going to tell you, hold on, saint of God. Prayers answered are closer than what you think. You can't see it over in the land of Egypt. You can't see down in Midian that the bush is burning and Moses is following instructions. But the answer's on the way. Glory to God, the children of Israel. All of the Israelites looked for a Messiah. But I'm going to tell you what, one day he came down a dusty road. Hallelujah. Then they hung him on a cross. I'm telling you, he's still the answer. Amen to God. We had camp meeting second week in June. Brother Russell MacDonald preached the camp meeting for us. Had a great, great camp meeting. God moved in a great way. And the wife and myself had been going through one of these trials that it seemed like the more we pray, the worse it got. It seemed like it was getting out of hand. Amen. Maybe the rest of you preachers never been that way. But it seemed like it was getting out of hand. Amen. I didn't even know if I needed to go this way or that way or stand still or what. We have prayer, camp meeting 6 o'clock every morning, prayer meeting before breakfast. And we was down at the tabernacle seeking the face of God. And I was sincere. I said, God, if I've ever been earnest, I'm earnest. I've got to have an answer. I said, I've been praying for weeks. I've got to have an answer. And I'd prayed and prayed to that effect several mornings. But that morning, I sat down on the pew over here after I'd prayed a little while and just meditating. Brother Russell MacDonald came over and sat down beside me.
laid his arm over on my shoulder. I was kind of leaning forward, kind of like Brother Jim is. Only I had both hands on my knees. He kind of meditating and wondering. Laid his arms on my shoulder. Began to talk to me just a little bit. And he got up and walked off. But that arm that had laid around my shoulder, Brother Colin, never left. I'm telling the truth. That arm never left. I felt the presence of God as I watched Brother MacDonald walk to the other side of the church and sit down. I even reached up there, amen, to feel. And it was still there. I didn't feel no hand, but I felt something. And God began to turn it around. God began to turn it around. God began to turn it around. I'm telling you, it didn't take but just a minute. I could have given up weeks earlier because I've been going through this week after week. Oh, God, I couldn't preach. I couldn't find anything to preach. Couldn't get anointed. I was trying to get everybody in the country to come by and preach for me, trying to help me and trying to help the church. Just seemed like I wasn't getting anywhere. It seemed like I was being oppressed everywhere I turned. I was pushed down. But I want to tell you what, the next morning they turned the service over to me and I felt that anointing. Not that I'm anything, but I felt the anointing of the Holy Ghost that I had not felt in 5 or 6 weeks. Oh, I want to tell you, God is moving. God is helping. God is moving by His power. My oldest boy, I think it'd be all right to tell this. My oldest boy, we weren't supposed to have any. Doctor said it's most almost impossible. But we kept on praying while the doctor said it's almost impossible. We kept on praying, and after we'd been married 10 years, amen, we found out Jonathan was on the way. Amen. So, he's 15 years old now, and he's been in church all of his life. He's heard his daddy preach all of his life. I've been pastoring the church where I'm at 18 years, almost 18, 19 years, somewhere in that area. 18, 19 years been pastoring the church, and he's 15, and he's heard God's gospel all of his life. And he'd go down to the church house with me, and he'd go to the Sunday school room and he'd pray. Amen. He'd pull out a dollar and give it an offering pan. Amen. And every time we'd have prayer, he's in the altar praying. But a few weeks ago, God really got a hold of him. God really got a hold of him. Amen to God. And he told me, he said, I really prayed. I really got saved tonight. Really got saved tonight. I really got saved. And when he did, the devil jumped on him. I mean, he jumped on it like to run my wife stone crazy. There's nights, night after night after night, we'd pray with him, we'd talk with him. Amen. We'd say, son, God saved you. You're not doing anything. We'd question him, is there any? No, I don't know anything, but I'm just tormented. Did you know there's tormenting spirits that's out in this world today? But I want to tell you what about this past Sunday morning, I believe it was. Amen. He finally got prayed through real good. And he said, I felt better than I felt in weeks. Oh, we can't afford to give up. The answer may already be down, coming down the road. The answer may already be coming down the trail. It may be ready to knock at your front door. Oh, yeah, the children of Israel, it's been 400 years. We're making bricks. It's not popping us anything. We're barely getting by. Oh, but yesterday as I rode down the road, God spoke these words to my heart. Oh, the answer's closer than what we think. God's working in both ends. While the children of Israel was seeking the face of God, while they were crying out to their God, Moses was waiting to be used by God. Then, he knew that there'd come a time, no doubt, I believe this, just bear with me. He knew that there'd come a time that God would use him. And that time came. 80 years old. 80 years old thereabout. Come walking out of the wilderness with the answer to the problem. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to God. Who is this God? Pharaoh said, who is this God that I should let these people go? I am that I am. In the beginning, God was. And in the end, He will be. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Give up? No, sir, not me.
No, sir, not me. Glory to God. I remember the stories of Abraham, that God said, I'm going to make his seed like the sands of the sea and the stars of heaven. Give up? No, sir. I remember the stories of Abraham, that when he took his son up, Isaac, up to the mountain, amen, was to make a sacrifice unto God for him. And he told the young men, stay here with the animals. This lad and I are going to the top of the mountain. We're going to worship God and we're going to return. And Isaac said, Father, we've got the wood. We've got the fire. But where is the sacrifice? Abraham said, God will take care of that. And as Abraham laid him on the altar and he raised that knife back to take his son's life, the angel of the Lord said, do him no harm, for I know that you're not going to withhold your son for me. Oh, I want to tell you, God has an answer. Well, maybe while Abraham was raising that knife, he was saying, I don't know what's going to be the outcome of this, but I know God said that this was the true seed. I don't know what's going to happen, but I know the promises of God. Oh, we may not know what tomorrow holds, but if we'll hold on to the hand of God today, how he can put a sacrifice in the bushes. And the Bible tells us that he took that ram and he slew it and made the sacrifice to God. And Isaac and Abraham came down that mountain again. They did worship God. Hallelujah. Moses saw that bush burning. Glory to God. It was not being consumed, but he said, I'll go and see what this is all about. And God said, I got to work for you now. I've got something for you to do. Got something for you to do. Amen to God. Can't give up. Help me, God. Can't give up. Can't quit now. I'm too near the finish line. I'm too near my home now. Glory to God. All the signs are pointing toward the soon coming of the Lord. How soon, none of us know. But it's sooner than what we think. It'll be here before we know it. And he that endures to the end, the same will be saved. Hallelujah to God. I can't see it. Oh, I can't see it. I don't know what's going on. But I know it's the hand of God. I put it in the hands of God. Glory to God. Oh, could I express this just a little bit before I turn the service back over to Brother Collins? Oh, with their natural eyes, all they saw was more affliction. All they saw was more trouble. All they could see, amen, was new brick, more straw, more mud, the whip of a taskmaster. Oh, glory to God. But little did they know, amen, that this morning there would be one in the king's courts that would change the course of their lives. Hallelujah. And in a moment's time, God's able to do it. In a moment's time. Well, I'm thinking about David for just a little bit, who stood before Goliath. 40 days Goliath had said, send me a man to fight. All of the armies of Saul ran and hid. But David said, I'll fight him. And in a moment's time, amen, defeat was destroyed and victory was certain. Well, for 40 days, all they could hear was that giant of a man say, give me a man to fight. I'm going to beat you. And even as David took up his sling, laid aside Saul's armor, and then went by the brook and took him 5 smooth stones, and he met Goliath. And Goliath said, am I a dog that you sent a lad with me with sticks and stones? I'll feed his carcass to the beasts of the field and the fowls of the air. All of Israel was hearing the boast of Goliath. I'm going to tell him the devil's boast. But David had been praying, and he gave the testimony about the lion and the bear, and then he put that stone in that sling while Israel was hearing Goliath laugh, while his anger was rising more, and in a rage he rises to slay David. I'm a telling the devil wants to slay. And then David puts in a sling, and David said, you come to me with a sword and a spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. They had no idea that such a ruddy little lad, amen, could bring the giant of a man down. I'm a telling you, be surprised. Oh, what prayer would do? No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. We've seen it time and time again. You've seen it time and time again. Amen. But they looked on in utter amazement as the ruddy little lad began to sling that sling. And when he Well, whichever way they used to do it, I don't know how they done it. I've never done it. I always had one of them that had two rubber bands and a wooden handle and put a rock in it and let it go. Never was getting good with it. But God directed that stone. Oh, if I can get God to direct it, and then Goliath to find himself laying on his face, defeated before the servant of God. Israel looked on in a moment's time. They no longer heard him gruffly saying, "Give me somebody to fight," but they heard him grunt as the stone hit him in the eyes, between the eyes, and they heard him fall. They heard the jingling of his armor. They heard the coat of mail as it began to rattle. But David, and they watch as David pulls that heavy sword out and slays the enemy of the Lord. I'm going to tell you, by faith tonight, we are able to slay the enemy. It didn't look like there was any hope. 40 days had cried, "Give me a man to fight." They had heard that challenge. They felt the humiliation. They felt utterly helpless. But David walks in the camp one day. Thank God, bringing the bread and the cheese. Inquires of it. And it leads him to a battlefield. I want to tell you something. God will fight our battles for us. I'm persuaded to believe that God delights to go to the battlefield for us. I believe that with all my soul. Amen to God. What Saul and his army didn't know. Amen. While the brethren was making fun of him and said, "We know what you come for. You've just come just to see the battle. We know the naughtiness of your heart and we know how you are." Amen. That was their frame of mind. Amen. But God had heard the cry of the children of Israel again. And he saw if I might put it this way, the humiliation. It wasn't just Saul's army that was being humiliated. It was all of Israel. Saul was God's chosen and now he's hiding. But David said, "I'll go. Don't let your heart fail you. Don't let no man have fear. I'll fight him." David said, "You can't do it." Put on my armor. Said, "I can't do it that way. But I'll go God's way." Anytime we go God's way. Amen to God. Little did they know. Amen. Leading that donkey, if you please, into camp that morning was deliverance. And they wouldn't expect David to bring in deliverance. No, sir, they never expected David to bring deliverance. Sometimes deliverance comes in the most unexpected ways. Sometimes answered prayers comes from the least expected sources. But there's one thing for sure. When God sends them, they come. Amen. Hallelujah. While we're praying, is there a need to keep on praying? Sure. Yes, there is. Plenty of need to. Can't quit now. So come to pass it before they call, I'll answer. While they're yet speaking, I will hear. Amen. God heard all of them while they were speaking. There's a promise to us tonight. God's going to move for his people. Amen. I could go on in experiences in my life, but I'll just leave it at this. God has been good to me and my family. Amen. God's been good to me. And then soon be 24 years been preaching this gospel the best I could. A lot of places. God's been good to me. When it looked like I wasn't going to make it. When it looked like I wasn't going to make it. God heard somebody's prayer. I told you about it probably one time when I was here. But I lay over there on that little piece of foam in San Jose, Costa Rica. Just as Brother Collins said, just a hair's breadth away from dying. My wife didn't know it. But my pastor, my brother-in-law, I didn't know it. I was leaving here. I could feel my spirit just kind of floating around somewhere. The oddest feeling I'd ever had. I wasn't here and I wasn't there. I didn't know it, but he had laid his head between his knees. And for better than 2.5 hours, he stayed in that position until God said he's going to be all right. He got up, and I came around, and I was so sick, throwing up. I said, "Wind, pray for me." He said, "Son, don't worry about it. I've already heard from God. There's no need me praying no more. I'll pray for you. But there's really no need." He said, "I've done heard from God. You're going to be all right." Amen. That was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. At 7 o'clock that night in the service. Amen. I was up helping them preach. I'm going to tell you, God moved. God moved. Oh, He's able to do that. He's able to do that. He's able to do that. Would you slip your hand up? Brother Collins coming to finish this the way he sees fit. But would you slip your hand up? There's souls tonight that need to understand God is our help, our strength.
Glad you're here tonight. Glad you're here, Brother Hampton. Good to have you. Amen. God knows what you needed before you came. He knew maybe somebody here needed to hear them while they're yet praying. I'll answer. I think he knew you was going to pray. I think he knew you was a man or a woman of prayer already. Praise God. And he said, "Well, I'm going to do it a little bit extra this time. Before he even gets done praying, I'm going to answer him." Praise God. Been faithful. He's a man of prayer. Hallelujah. He's walked with God. Yeah, we're running a race against time, so I'm going to do one better against the devil this time while he's still praying. I'm going to answer. Amen. Let's stand, come to this altar tonight. Maybe God's answering your prayers. You walk down the aisle because he knew you was coming. He knew you was going to pray. He knew you was going to call on God. He knew you was going to cry out to the Lord. Amen. Because you're a man or a woman that cries out to God. You're a man or a woman that takes your troubles to the Lord and leaves them there. He knew all the time you was coming. Amen. So he may be answering while you walk this aisle tonight. He may be answering. Praise God. While you walk this trail to the altar tonight, he may be answering. Praise God. Amen. While are yet praying, I'll answer. Hallelujah. Come on. Praise God.